May I speak in the name of God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Approximately 12 years ago, September 9th, 2004, I was ordained as a priest. And that's a very short tenor of doing my curacy. I was posted somewhere to start a new parish. The setting was a bit different from here. Was in a settlement scheme that had been started a while ago in the 1950s when my country was going a period of emergency. It was a predominantly rice-growing area. It was three congregations, and two of them were in the virtue of being crossed down. I was very young by then. And so the bishop had taken me there to test my youthfulness. And I found myself in a rather vulnerable situation. Young as I was, and thinking of what miracle God wants to do through me to this community. And I can tell you for sure that these words in the book of Acts 2 have been an inspiration not only then, but even now. That the disciples met for teaching, fellowship, breaking of the bread, as well as prayer. And many people loved whatever they were doing. And daily, a number was added to them. I was looking at some statistics in this country. A census done 5 years ago showed that 59.3% of the people then professed or said or could identify themselves as Christians. 4.8% of the population here could identify themselves as Muslims. We had another 20 million of the remainder who said they were not religious at all. An attitude survey done this May 2016 gives me a very shocking figure about England and Wales, where 52% of the people still say they're not religious at all. So where does this leave us as a church? When we think of the church being a growing church. In the course of the whole of this month, we've been thinking on various theories of a church. And today, I draw it into a conclusion by thinking of how good it is to be a growing church. And so what is growth? Growth is a positive change in size, maturation, over a period of time. It could also be understood as a process towards fullness or fulfillment. Growth can be measured in terms of quantity. For example, height, weight, or better still, in terms of quality, when we think of the whole process of being and being mature as Christians. So what facilitates growth in a church or in a community? The scenario of Jesus talking to the Samaritan was a bit disturbing to the disciples. I don't know whether it's the reason that the disciples were not there and they had gone out to fight for some food. And they found Jesus speaking to this woman that they didn't know. Or is it in our queer thinking of what sometimes we too think whenever we find people in rather uncompromising situation, even when we don't know what they're doing? I don't know what was going through the disciples' mind at this time. But they were perplexed when they found Jesus talking to this woman. It was midday. And at midday, in countries where it's quite hot and humid, it happens to be the hottest time of the day. And so Jesus strategically knew, or maybe he was thirsty, that's why he was going over to get some water. And finding the woman sat by the well, asks her, "Can I have some water?" And the woman tells her, "I am a Samaritan, you are a Jew. We have nothing in common." And Jesus knew this so well. But this became the basis of Jesus speaking to her and the Spirit convicting her. And within that very short encounter, she went back into the village, telling everyone, "Come and see a man that has told me all what I've done in my life." And for that, I crown her as the first evangelist of taking the good news to the village. And this brings me just to the five things I want us to think about this morning that facilitate growth. And the first is evangelism. The disciples met for teaching, for prayer, and meditation on the Word of God. And I know the kind of time that we've spent in this church and in this parish, teaching and sharing on the Word of God. They met for the breaking of bread, not in the synagogue, not in the temple, but in their various homes. And the same with some of us. Whenever we meet during our home cell and our home fellowships, down in our estates and wherever we live and come from, they gave themselves to reading of the scriptures. And this reminds me that very soon we'll be starting on an Alpha course again. A time to seek to understand deeper the Word of God. And so evangelism plays a very pivotal role within the spread of the gospel. And sometimes it's not only sharing the things about God, but it's starting from where we are. Christ started with a Samaritan woman from the point of their difference. You are a Jew, you are a Samaritan. And sometimes getting the icebreaker to even introduce ourselves to some people sometimes is a bit challenging. But there's so much that we can draw from our common and our ordinary lives that we're living today. If I was to meet Nick and want to banter him around, maybe my starting phrase would be reminding him how they escaped narrowly yesterday from being thrashed by Middlesbrough, because I know he's a Crystal Palace fan. They survived by a whisker. If I met an Arsenal fan like me, I'll be bragging of how we did to Chelsea yesterday. The ordinary things that we meet and we encounter every day. And from there, we form a basis of something else. Olivia, a lover of British Bake Off like my missus, you'll be worried of what is happening with BBC and Channel 4. For those who love cricket and other games, there is always a base. And if that does not work, we can always share about the weather. It's been a few good days and now it's starting to be a bit gloomy. And from there, our evangelism goes on. And it could happen anywhere, anytime. And the second aspect that we get from this is an act of fellowship. That the disciples were concerned about the poor. They brought their resources together. They sold their things. They brought their resources together. And they cared for the needy. Maybe I think one thing was, Jesus had told them he's coming soon. And they thought soon was immediate. And that's why they were clustered together. But by and by, they realized that Christ is not coming tomorrow. And they had to break up and go back to their individual places and continue with the same work. Fellowship is important. It's where we energize each other. It's where we share with one another. We comfort each other. And the time is now, as we think of the bereavement group that we are planning to start off, a time to come together and to think more of life here on earth and after here. What else facilitates growth? Our social network and community. Sharing with the needy, as I said. Our social network in terms of Facebook community, the WhatsApp groups that we are in. Once in a while, I check on our Twitter handle, the church Twitter handle, and I see some good comments and all that. It's about bringing all these communities together and sharing one thing or another in all these networks that we belong to. It's about volunteering our time, our talents, our gifts, of which I know we never shy from in this parish and this church, giving our time, giving our monetary value for the good cause. And above all, it's about tolerance, adaptation, and being accommodative. We always have our divergent views on so many issues in life and in our social setting. But may our diversity always bring us closer in agreeing to disagree as we seek to win not only these 20 million who claim they're not religious, but bringing a ritual heaven for us here. And when I remember my experience from those many years that I've said, and when we sat down after 1 month of my orientation, I sat down with my people in one of my congregations, it was only about 20. And they used to tell me of the good old days when there were hundreds in the church. And the church was a big one. The building was big. And we sat down and I did ask them, what do you think we should do? And they told me. We came up with a few things. But I still remember one important aspect. Is that we formed a group of prayer. And with this group, we'd meet every alternate day of the week in the morning for prayer and devotion. And then we'd go out on door-to-door evangelism. We pitched our tents out for open-air meetings. We visited our members who, for some reason or other, were not turning up. And by the end of 1 year, our numbers had increased tremendously. Our fellowship was stronger. I thank God because we are meeting again this Saturday to brainstorm and think of a few other things that we can do for this community to enhance our growth. I'm looking forward to that morning when we shall generate all these ideas and bring them together and narrow them and focus on each and every one of them in a bid to win these non-religious. And at the same time, not to forget about ourselves, to focus on our growth, on our deeper understanding of the scripture. And at the end of it all, I know the Lord will be happy, adding unto us our numbers. Because we know what ails our community. We know where people keep off, where some people have hated themselves because of what the community perceives them to be. Just like the Samaritan woman who wouldn't like to be with other people, who would go by the well when there's no one else because she was known to be a participant of the world's oldest trade, which is prostitution. And for that reason, she felt she needed not to be with other people, not to be seen by other people. Maybe they were mocking her and calling her names. Christ is calling us to identify even with the less fortunate, the rowdy, in our community, those that are despised, and sharing with them of the love of Christ. The work of conviction is for the Spirit. And once the Spirit convicts them, there is a social transformation. May the Lord God help us and use each and every one of us in our unique way to reach to the community and to contribute to the growth of the body of Christ. Amen.